6 as we speak, if he's still there.
T2, WDJ.
Go ahead, Walter.
I am back in my room, comfortable in my house, so I am no longer out in the field. Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's all right. We just thought we'd give another opportunity to socialize your escapades.
I appreciate it. You know what I found is the band is actually pretty dead tonight. I actually called up Steve, WI2W, and made a short QSO with him. Even him with 100 watts was not coming in that great.
Yeah, well, you're a little close for 20 meters. All right, very good.
Back to the net, KC2WD.
Very good. Who was the other station?
Hey, this is W2JEK. I'm going to say, should I email you that information on that EXF beacon up over?
Yeah, that'd be fine, or you can send it to ComTech Group or both.
I'll send it to you. I know you had it. No, you'll get it. You said ATT, AlphaTangoTango.net, correct?
Yes, sir. That's what my AWRL.net points to, so either way.
Well, I sent the list of the stations last week, and it bounced on to ARRL, so then I sent it as a second copy over to the AT.net.
That's weird. I can't explain why the AWRL one would bounce, but you know what? I'll send one to that email address as well, and we'll see what happens. All right. Anything else for the net?
And they were, ARRL was doing something that weekend, Gordon. I mean, they got a little head start on it. I think it was Friday night. Sunday night they were doing something with the computer. It was announced on the webpage. So it might have been something.
Oh, sure, that could be. All right, well, a couple of things. One is tomorrow night I will be at the Fairlawn Radio Club. Doors open at 6 till about 9 p.m. or so. I'm going to bring down my Raspberry Pi 2 and my BeagleBone Black to mess with. And let's see, what else? Oh, we also have, next week, Bay County Fair. We are still looking for volunteers for the fair, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday. And if you'd like to volunteer for that, please let us know. You need not have a portable radio, oddly enough, because we will issue you a radio, although if you have a 2-meter radio, that would be nice, or a 440 radio, preferably. We would like to have your participation. And let's see, what else did I want to mention? Next week I will not be able to run the net. I can say that categorically at this time. I will not run the net next week because of the Passaic County Fair. So, we will need a net control next week. If it does rain and the fair is rained out on Thursday night, I can assure you I will run the net. But barring that, be advised of my need for a backup next Thursday. Anyway, I want to thank everybody. Before I thank everybody, are there any other stations with anything they'd like to bring up?
WT, some info on the propagation question.
Okay, Jim, on the propagation question, there might be somebody else as well. Go ahead, Jim.
NWAC.
All right, Ken, you go ahead. Ken, you go first. NTVHZ, go ahead.
NTVHZ, Canada Alliance, Nebraska. I was on Walter's frequency on 14 megahertz, and I was shouting for him for about 10 minutes on and off, about a half, 45 minutes ago, and I didn't hear anything, but the band was not that active, but I was trying to call him from Nebraska, and I don't think he heard me, and I definitely didn't hear him. And I have one question. I know you want to go, Gord, but... ask you a fast question. Over to KWAR.
Go right ahead with your question.
Okay, I'm going to pull the handle to the Wayback Machine. Okay, it has been pulled, and we're looking back to when the early days of repeaters, when they had auto patch and so forth. Even before auto patch, when you really didn't have a phone line, you didn't have a dedicated POPS line running to a repeater. So you had a 2 meter, an exclusively 2 meter repeater. You know, 2 meters in and out. Now, how did they? I know that it was controlled by DTMF keypads through the repeater controller. But how, I had a person say to me that technically it's illegal. You have to control that repeater on 220 megahertz and above frequency. It needs a 440 or a 220 link radio to control it. And I said, I don't believe they were all done that way for the 2 meter repeaters back in the ancient days. What do you think, Gordon?
I think there are a lot of repeaters that had in-band control as their only remote control that was actually effective. Some, of course, had a 440 receiver with a stubby antenna, but they actually couldn't, you know, wouldn't actually work very far away, but it met the requirements for a remote. I do remember seeing a few of those. My favorite one was the Bearcat scanner that was locked on a frequency with a rubber duck inside the blockhouse. So you could drive by the repeater site and turn it off if you had to. Comment, go.
Gordon, WA2QBC. A lot of the older machines used in-band DTMF on the input. The output would typically mute during the DTMF control process, so most people couldn't hear it. Still people could hear it. And other people had an auxiliary receiver on a different frequency elsewhere on the same band or a different band. And again, they were mostly using touchtones back in the day.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So, well, it's pretty amusing, I think Ken's point was that you weren't supposed to control things from 2 meters. Well, you were allowed to control things, but that could not be your primary means of control. Your primary means of control had to be 220 and above per the rules. In fact, I think they still are the rules.
I don't recall what the rules were in those days, but there were a couple of two-wire POPS ones that were also used.
Oh, yeah. Well, there used to be, actually there still is, a POTS line connection between the EOC in Paramus and the hospital. And they can take down the repeater and they can bring up a remote base on Simplex.
Let me see. Let me get it for a second. Right, I'm exactly in agreement with everybody that's saying this right here. There was a relatively new ham that had quoted Part 97 about the remote control of the device. And I said, well, you're interpreting it exactly to the letter, but... And I remember back in the day that not everybody had a POPS line, and they did have control over the repeater output frequency. On the input, they would go in and do some things through the DTMF keypad. And... He was not believing me, actually, saying there had to have been a 440 link or else they were in violation. And I said, hey, then they were in violation, you know? The technology just wasn't there all the time. And some of these repeaters were in such remote sites that they didn't have the capability of running a phone line to them. You know, they were lucky they were running the way they were as they were. But, okay, so I'm not imagining these things. I just wanted to make sure, you know, being alone out here in the middle of nowhere in Alliance, Nebraska, and having nobody to talk to about this stuff sometimes can drive you crazy, but I'm not so crazy after all. Back to you, Gordon.
Things could very well have changed over the years, too.
Yeah, but no, he's speaking the truth, though. And by the way, Ken, in case there's any question, you are crazy. But that's all good. Alrighty. Jim, I think you wanted to give some further information.
Yes, I did. That new ham must have been a lawyer. again, on the Fairlawn site, I keep saying that because I'm the webmaster, so, you know, I flipped the site. FLARC.net, on the lower left-hand corner, there's a little graphic that gets updated quite regularly, showing the HF propagation conditions for daytime and nighttime. It's general, of course, but it's red, yellow, and green, and shows the various ham bands. And if you click it, you'll go to the main page that feeds it with all kinds of technical data about the sunspots and the propagation. Earth?
That's good to keep in mind, absolutely. Anybody else with thoughts?
Comment? I'm sorry, I was daydreaming. Actually, I was listening to 40 meters on the other radio, and I missed that comment, and I would like to know what the website was. If you could please repeat that. Sorry about that.
Do the honors, Jim.
All right, you can use FLARC.net, or if it's easier to remember, you can use FairlawnARC.org. Or...
contact group notes in a few minutes.
Thank you very much. This is K2GFM.
So it's www.flark.net, or what was the other one?
One that we were supposed to remember easily. Fairlawnarc.org for Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club, and it's an organization. All right.
So FairlawnARC or FLARC.net. Don.
At QSN.com. Set up and the K and the K index and a whole bunch of other. And also the NAQCC.info. AQCC.K3WD.K3WD's site. Have a propagation thing nation, and it goes back as the propagation for the A and X's are what they.
That's interesting. All right. I had a couple of other things to add to that list, but let me sure I have that correct correctly. It's let's see. It's NAQCC, November Alpha, Quebec, Charlie dot info.
Negative, is it? It's involved with the NAQCC. It's K3WWP, Kilowatt 3, Whiskey Papa. And you get onto his homepage and then you listen to it, it says propagation, and you'll see, it tells you what went on. And then the whole explanation of things there, too. It's quite said it has the A index and the sunspot number or something like that keeps a record of her couple of, well, why was it bad last week?
Okay, so I have his website here, and I also have the heparin report. Hold on. Now, the heparin report I made a reference, this is more interesting to 10 meters and above operators, but it's really wicked cool. You get tropospheric ducting forecasts, and that's not HF radio, but we'll have a couple of good links here, and I think you'll enjoy them. So I've added them to the to the list for tonight. It's been a while since we put that information out, you'll have Fairlawns, you'll have Barras, you'll have Alpine Repeater, you'll have the Hepburn Report, and you'll have the Windstream report that you mentioned, the Windstream from John Shan. You'll have all those on your list of things you can go look at tonight when you get the distribution email from ComTech Group. And if anyone doesn't know how to get into the ComTech Group and you can't figure it out, just shoot me an email. We'll add you as a member. Feel free to call me up if I don't act promptly, like within a day or so. That would be fine. I'd be happy to take care of that. Anything else?
Again, I'll mention that www.ncdxf, that's November Charlie Delta X-ray Foxtrot .org/beacon/beacon schedule, word schedule, capital S, patients that are throughout base frequencies, over.
Okay, I was grabbing something else at that moment, so could you repeat that?
It's www.ncdxf, that's November Charlie Delta X-ray Foxtrot .org/beacon, B-E-A-C-O-N, /beacon, schedule spelled with a capital S. That's for Charlie Hotel Echo Delta United Lima Echo .html. I have it here on my paper, and I said there's about 15, 18, 18, 100, 18, 10, 21, 30, and 28, 200. Back to
that, W2JK. Okay, John, very good. Needless to say, we're going to try that in a second, and we'll see how that goes. Just got to make sure that each one of these links proves out. I don't like to distribute links that are broken. There we go. AlpineRepeater.com, pardon me, that works. And the one you just gave me, I'm going to try that one real quick. Paste that. Make sure that works. Oh, yeah, we're good. There's the beacon schedule. Yep. All right, good. So we have all that good stuff. If you're on the ComTech Group email list, you will get all sorts of good stuff. Anything else?
Enter VHZ with one comment.
Go ahead, Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, I did some research, and you're right about the crazy. Just food for thought, Dr. Ulrich Rode of Upper Saddle River, formerly of Upper Saddle River, is his grandfather. Very interesting. He was a pioneer and one of the creators of the synthesis of, the artificial synthesis of fuel, benzene. Made artificial fuel in Germany. And then his father is a professor of, I guess you would say, microwave radio, somehow, back in the day, you know. He was one of the pioneers in Germany, apparently. And the one from Upper Saddle River, Ulrich, he has a couple of telegraphy licenses, and which you don't see very often, for commercial radio, for the commercial band. He has telegraph endorsements, which you don't normally see. Just wanted to add that interesting factoid. Back to you, K2BAR.
Well, there are probably precious few of us who've actually worked them. I've worked them, you've worked them. I think Don's probably worked them when he's been around locally. But he hasn't been around much lately. He still already saw his house here, but you don't hear him on the air very much. But very good. I'm just wondering if Noel is around. Alright, well, Mr. Noel did post something to my email, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to add that to the comments for the net. He's got an article about a particular drone that was rather entertaining. I'll just leave it at that, and let you guys, run your thoughts any which way you want. Oh, dear me, very neat. All right, anything else for the net tonight?
82 IRY.
Mr. Mike, what's your preference, sir? D2IRY, go.
Good evening, sir. I'm on a portable. Just checking into the net and one announcement.
Go right ahead.
Unrelated to amateur radio, Austin, New York will be holding their fire department parade tomorrow night starting around 6 o'clock in Austin, New York.
Very nice. Okay. That's always a fun midsummer kind of activity. Hey, I have something that I just want to add. I got a set of headphones for my desktop computer, and I'm noticing the microphone is a stereo microphone plug. It's got three conductors, not just two, just like the headphone does. And what they did was they color-coded the plug separators, you know, the insulators, not the plugs themselves, but the insulators, to be pink and green, or pink and blue, pardon me, pink and green, I guess it is, or blue, whatever the heck their color is, just like the sockets are. That's kind of neat. But what I was noticing is that when my wired logic, well, my little wired mouse, it's a USB mouse, fires up and goes active, I hear a high-pitched squeal on my headphones. So anytime the mouse is moving, there's a squeal, and the USB port, of course, is right next to the headphone port on the front of the front of the desktop. So I think the next logical thing to try is to move it to a port on the back and see if the noise continues. Wouldn't that be a hoot? High-frequency RFI. The other question I had is, has anyone had any experience with grow lights? And, especially the ones that the ARRL's going after with a vengeance, which is a beautiful thing, by the way. I've actually seen those up at League headquarters. It's pretty brutal. By the way, by plugging the mouse into the back of the computer, the high-pitched oscillation disappears on the headphones when the mouse goes active. So there's your answer. So anybody have any experience with those grow lights?
Hemp on ferrite choke on some of the wires, Gordon.
Yeah, you know what? This is a micro mouse, and the whole point of it is to be lightweight.
Echo off on your audio.
Well, thank you. The idea is to have it be a lightweight mouse. This mouse is very tiny.
Blue, perhaps, Gordon?
No, it's from Logic Supply, that lovely company up in, was it Vermont, that sells embedded computer platforms. I don't know if you remember, a year or so ago, I brought an Atom processor based on an ITX board, and it had all the serial ports, all the parallel ports, all the USB 2s and 3s, and, disk ports you'd ever want, plus a GPIO port, two gigabit network ports, audio in and out. I mean, everything was on board. And I didn't bring it, but I have an i5 machine. It's the same form factor and the same kind of port layout. I mean, oh, by the way, it's got an HDMI port and a VGA port. So it's pretty slick, and you can run them both simultaneously. So, I mean, and it's got like one PCI slot on it. So and they're amazingly inexpensive. They really are. So, you can, the hams who go crazy with these, USB dongles to get serial ports, there's no reason for it. There's plenty of cheap CPU boards out there that are high performance, enough for the ham shack, and, low power solutions, high power solutions, whatever you need to really make it go. So, you know, you can build yourself up a nice little machine. If anyone wants further support on a conversation about that, please feel free to, you know, to ask. I'd be happy to help. But go to Logic Supply. You'll see all sorts of references to different kinds of CPU boards that they have and packaging. And there are ways to cut corners on things like that, so you don't have to buy it from them. But you can buy one of the major circuit board manufacturers that they support is Jetway. You can also go to their website directly. Jetway is an interesting, CPU board company.
Enter VHC with a story about Nebraska.
Yeehaw! Go ahead, Ken, with the ID. Let the ID go, and then go.
Enter VHC with an exciting story about Nebraska.
No, now go right ahead, Ken.
Oh, all right. So here's what happens, everybody. I'm a radio man at the railroad. I work alone at night, like I am right now, working. And I go up to the tower, the control tower, where they have a radio issue. And I make my visit, my presence known. And, you know, I'm able to extol my beautiful customer service skills I learned at New Jersey Bell. And I show these Nebraska people how you're supposed to be treated as a client of mine. So as I'm commiserating with these clients of mine, my colleagues, my contemporaries, whatever you want to call them, the people that control the railroad here in Alliance, Nebraska. From the tower, you can see, I'd say 150 miles to the horizon in any direction. There's no obstructions. It's perfectly flat. It's the same as a control tower in an airport. Same construction, same configuration. They told me the other day, four of them saw a large light directly to the west where no cities are, and there's never anything there in the daylight. So this very bright light was slowly approaching them over the horizon, and they looked at it with their binoculars and noticed it was getting larger and larger. So one of them went outside to look closer and smoke a cigarette, and on their travels in and out, they said that it dropped, at that moment, it dropped something when that person walked outside. The bright light jettisoned another bright light into the desert. So the other person came in, didn't see that. So three of them saw that, but the fourth one did. And all four of them sat in the tower watching it approach them. The light got larger, and to their surprise, within seconds, a huge aircraft silently flew directly over the tower at low altitude with a huge luminescence coming from the forward edge of it. And they've never seen anything like that. They didn't hear any noise, and they were all scared to death, and they don't know what it was, and it disappeared onto the eastern horizon. But it came directly due west and used the control tower of the railroad yard as a waypoint, apparently. And somewhere they approximate 50 miles in the desert, it jettisoned a shiny object. Back to you, Gordon, K2BAR.
And that shiny object continued to fly?
That's what I said. They said, no, it kind of, the light of it went, if it had a light, went off before it hit the ground, the way it looked, you know, and I couldn't believe it. So I said, but all four of them sat there, they're all about 55 years old, you know, of right-minded body, and they all said this is the most unbelievable thing they've ever seen since they've worked here for 20, 30 years, you know? Back to you.
Well, you know, in that part of the world, there's an awful lot of, shall we say, Air Force experimentation.
That's what I thought, especially now they're doing a lot of, you know, maneuvers and, you know, things out here. There's a lot of little army bases that you don't hear about that are only active certain times of the year for training. And I said, perhaps it was a military aircraft. They said, well, we hope it's ours, because that thing flew over without making a sound. And you don't see anything in the air out here ever, ever. When the one airplane comes in once a day on its scheduled arrival at 10 o'clock at night, you can hear it for 5 minutes before it arrives. Then you see it land. That's how clear the skies are. And then it takes off again in the municipal airport about 15 minutes later, and you can watch it take off. You can hear it, no matter where you are in town. So this was all during the day, by the way. It was about 6 o'clock in the evening, and it happened about a week ago. But this thing made no noise at all, believe it or not. And they said they hope it's our Air Force, because if it's not, we're in trouble. Back to you.
Pretty marvelous. Anyway, very good. So the jettison object didn't make any noise either. That's interesting. Anybody have any thoughts as to what could be luminescent and on its leading edge?
82IRY.
Mr. Mike.
The last thing I saw from the military was when they found Osama bin Laden. They used a helicopter that didn't make any noise with lights on the front and so forth.
You mean like a CH-64, I forget what the designation is, the one that's really, really quiet?
And cannot be picked up by radar. A stealth helicopter.
Ah, yes. You too can join the I'm afraid of the black helicopter cadre.
Apache.
Yeah. Well, isn't it a 64? Wait a second. You gonna make me look this up?
Thinking of a CH-46.
It's 46 is a is a heavy lift. You know, twin rotor aircraft. No, 64. What's it? Blah 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 blah. There it is. So, yep. The I'll find it eventually. Right? Did I find it? Nope. The hell is the Now you got me wondering.
Because if we ever. If I never appear again, like on the next net, you'll know at least the information was given out, and they sent their people here to take me away. Back to net.
Yeah, the 64, the S-64 is the sky crane. God, let me just look up Apache. Maybe that's the right answer.
KD2IRY, I believe it was a modified Black Hawk type helicopter with stealth plates built into it.
Now, what am I saying? It's a 60. The UH-60, yeah. And the stealthy ones are... Is that the M? I'm trying to remember now.
Is that unit has special aircraft that's modified to the point where it's mission capable for what they do. So it's called the 160th. They use the motto Night Stalkers, you know. And if you look up 160th Night Stalkers, they tell you quite a bit about them, but quite a bit you don't, they don't tell you. But those guys have those modified aircraft for that type of mission, and that's what they use exactly. They use modified Black Hawks and the Apache gunships, which, you know, what do they call them? Cobras? They took over from what the Cobra left off. The Cobra's used by the Marines still, but the Army, it's completely taken out of the inventory. Even so far as the National Guard, they got rid of them for Apaches. And then the Apache has a variant called the Longbow, which is able to certain type of missile out to a certain distance. And you'll see, like, Apache Longbow with a type of special antenna arrangement on top. And that's simply for the guidance of the when somebody locks onto that aircraft, it can lock back at a greater distance to be able to destroy it. Back to that K2BAR, this is M2BAZ.
Okay, we got a lot of you guys talking, we're all talking at once here. So, Mike, your point is well taken. The 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment are the Night Stalkers, or Ken, I think you mentioned that, and they use any number of variations of the MH-60A. They've been using Ks. They've been using Ls. If you go and just simply look up UH-60 or Blackhawk helicopter and look at the Wikipedia entry, it's actually pretty good. Very, very nicely done. All right, so I'll make a reference to that in the notes for tonight, too. What the heck? Anyway, anything more, gentlemen? I do have one question for you, and that is, did these guys give the impression that it was a fixed wing or a rotary wing aircraft?
Fixed wing with a swept wing design, and they said it was larger than anything they've ever seen like that. That's why I can't say that it was a rotary wing aircraft, because they swear when it went over, they looked at the, underneath it. They didn't. I said, did you see any numbers anymore? They said nothing. It was gray, a silver gray. Is what they said. Back to net.
All right. Very good. Well, a couple of thoughts come to mind, but it was too low in the sky for it to be some of the other things I was thinking about. But anyway. All right, guys, I need to wrap this up a little early. It's almost 11 o'clock, but it's all good. It's been a pleasure tonight. I want to thank everybody for a very interesting evening. And Ken, thank you for that little bit of information. I'm going to put this on our CompTech group, and we'll see what gives. Alrighty, everybody. You take care, and I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater, and thank everybody tonight for their great, intriguing line of questioning and the like. So, 7-3, and have a great evening. This is K2BAR W2TTT, returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. Night-night.
N2BHZ repeater disconnected.
W2PRJ.
W2YP.
KW2YP.
Yeah, good morning. I just looked up at my radio. I've been here for a while. I was on a different 2-meter repeater and didn't even realize I wasn't not on 955.
Okay, that's okay. We're making our way to the old workplace there. How you doing? How was your evening yesterday? All right? Everything all right?
Yeah, everything is fine. Cooked out yesterday. Everything is good. Unfortunately, I have to go to a wake this afternoon. Don't like those things, but I got to put my face in the place.
Close to you, Rocky? Someone close to your family or you personally?
A friend of mine for about 25, 30 years and was a customer here.
Okay. Well, you gotta do what you gotta do. You know how it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna get there early. This guy was well known. 67 years old. Cancer got him.
West Walmart, man. I'm surrounded by 3 Walmart trucks over here. It's unbelievable.
Like I said, you and Charlie can have it, driving to work on those highways. I would never want, especially in New York.
I gotta hold out here a little while longer. A little while longer, that's all.
Not too bad out here tonight. I can handle this every night during the summer.
Charlie, we're calling you Charlie now. Hey, Rock, listen. I was listening to you talk to your friends over there about the machine. This machine is not right. There's something wrong with it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just don't know how to get a hold of anybody. I don't know if anybody does they know about it. Yesterday when I was home, at one point, I saw the signal strength come up on my meter to full. The other guy commented on that, and then it dropped down again. It's got no problem us getting into it. It's the output of the machine.
Exactly right. It's the output of the machine. That's right. Because I hit a spot here, a plateau, where I normally would be into the machine. On the receive, I hear it, and it's crackling, and it's breaking up like crazy.
KD2BOR. Yeah, one of the guys on this repeater, AA2WP, Willie, I think I said it to you last night or the night before. He was on a turnpike coming from the Newark Airport, and he said he thought something was wrong, too, because he was hardly getting the machine. It was so weak.
It is what it is. I don't think it's atmospherics. I'll tell you that right now. It's something else. It's not atmospherics. Because I'm too close to the machine for it to be that way. You know what I'm saying? If it was a skip situation, it would be something else. But too close to the machine, man. I'm only maybe, 6 air miles away?
What I've noticed lately, even at the shop, even though I get it full scale, I have a cab company next door to me, and they're on another frequency not too far from this one. They're up in the 150s, 152 and 157. They usually knock my receive back just a little bit. You know, the S-meter. But lately, when they key up, they're knocking the S-meter all the way down.
I got to tell you something. There's a cab company on one of our ham frequencies on a 450 band. There's somebody right over here operating Simplex on 450. 452, 455, somewhere around there. 452, 51. It's on the amateur band.
As long as I've been in ham radio, I don't know what the spread is on 440 or 70 centimeters. What is the spread that we're allowed to use?
It goes from 440.19, I think, all the way to 440. 443. 443.9, I believe.
If I'm not mistaken, I think we go to the top at 450, if I'm not mistaken.
Most of the repeaters are within that span, and I'm getting this guy, and he's right on that frequency. He's right on the input, the output of the machine, I should say.
Now hold on a minute. I'm looking up the band plan right now. KD2VOR. 70 centimeters, 420 to 450.
that's where the repeaters are, right? Within that span?
No, I think the repeaters are like between 4:30 and 4:45, somewhere around there. I'm not too sure. I don't understand this band plan here. I got to get to it. This is the ARRL or whatever. I like the other one.
Look up New York City repeaters over there. They got it on. You're looking at 450, and you'll see them all come up. You'll see the beginning to the end over there. They have it.
Well, wherever the repeaters are, we know. But it says here on the U.S. amateur band plan, the peak that I got at my house, it says 420 to 450 for 70 centimeters.
Anyway, it's the cab company. It's up on 449, I think it is, or 447. I gotta put it into scan again, and I gotta listen because these guys are on the, they're on the output of a machine, and I copy them very well locally in Fordham Road. So I don't know if it's a harmonic problem. I don't know if it's an intermod problem, but it's a problem.
Well, if they're on 447, they're in our band plan. They don't belong there.
Is that cab company up on 440 next to you?
KD2BOR. No, he's using two different frequencies. I guess the car is on one, base on the other, and they're mixed. He uses 152-300 and 157-560.
I got the frequencies. I was just in the dead spot now, so I'm making my way over to the drive. Alright, whatever, so. Well, that's just front-end overload to you. That's a different story. What kind of antenna do they have on the roof? Probably have one of those Bandmasters or something.
It's a fiberglass stick, about 8 feet tall, maybe 6 feet. And then it's got a quarter wave, about 19-inch little metal stinger coming out of the top of it.
Stack vertical. That's like four stack verticals in phase. That's why it's so long. Yeah, that's a lot of gain you got there.
I asked him how far he gets out with his radios. He's got cars in the city, and he can get back to Kearney here. I never really asked him how far his transmit will go and receive.
He also has the CTTS tone on receive and transmit, so he's not going to hear any crap, any noise coming back.
Yeah, I know that. I had a radio here, and it was my Bofang. I went on their frequency and just keyed up in his office to see if I could get in, but I couldn't because of no tone. Even with what I'm running here at the shop, I don't interfere with him at all.
Oh, how much power are you running over there? Just how much is it, output?
Right now I'm running the radio at 50 watts. I'm capable a little bit more.
There's a problem with the receiver, on the receiver under the repeater, I can tell you that right now, so. It's not solid, it's just not solid at all.
Go to the other one.
Good.
What were you doing? Something different? Sleeping?
actually just took the whole toilet off of its mount, cleaned underneath it, put a new heel, and repaired the broken flange, and bolted it back now.
Very good. That's always a fun job.
Oh, it's actually a better job when my wife doesn't see the mess. You know, that way now the bathroom is all back together, it's all clean, and she doesn't see the mess, and she thinks, oh, that looked easy.
Ha, 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 yeah, right.
So you know how it is when you go into a girl's house, and you make a mess. To see it.
Yeah, I know all about it when I was married. I had a wife and a daughter.
I always tell the wife, sorry, television contract work. You see the beginning and the end. You see the middle, the mess.
You're funny, Chris. You love to stir the pot, huh?
Yeah.
Looking around on eBay, I've got that thin coax going out to my UHF mount on my tailgate for the 7900. I want to run an 8X to it.
Does that have the, like, thin width, thin stuff coming off of it?
No, my K400 mounts have got the RG316. All the way through.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those mounts. It's like a real thin, you know. How might it be?
82BOR. Well, diamond antenna use has got to be pretty good. I read some reports on a 316 that'll handle 350 watts, but you don't want to make, you know, go big lengths. My HF antenna, I've got RG8X going to that for the antenna mount for the 857. Kind of hard to buy what I want. I think I'm just going to buy the parts separate, the piece that goes in the mount. I've already got the PL259s with the reducer for 8X. And I found the cable, 5 feet for $2.03. So I can buy 20 or 25 feet. Pretty cheap.
It is pretty cheap.
Just in case I decide to put anything in the mobile down the line on the VHF or the UHF side, I want to have heavier cable going to the antenna. That's what I think did in my last one.
I got a 18-foot length of, LMR-16, yeah, I think 216. That's what's going to go mount that goes through the trunk.
Now 216, is that like the size of RG8 or maybe bigger?
It's pretty thick. Almost as thick as an LMR.
Yeah, back in my other radio days, I always had pretty good luck with the 8X. My Stardustster, I had RG8 going to that. It's fine for mobile installations. 8X is a little better, a little, you know, thinner. I can go up another 47 cents and I can buy 8XF, double shielded.
Most of the time when I do mobile, from the, the RG8 295, very flexible.
Yeah, that's not bad wire at all. I made a mistake before. That's 47 cents extra for 5 feet each length. He sells it in 5-foot sections, this guy. And the cable is made by Tram, and Tram wasn't too bad. The guy who's selling the mount part that goes in the K400, he's out of town till 11th.
concept one on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's green.
Is it the one where you saw my comment on it?
Yes.
My daughter has that bumper sticker on her window of her Jeep. Keep your beaters off my Jeep.
82 VOR, looking at this thing would force me never to buy a Jeep.
Like when I sent a comment to Jeep Corporation when they came out with the Renegade, saying you guys could take one of those put it in my driveway and tell me to drive it for a year, and you'd have to pick it up in a year, inflate the tires, and wipe the dust off because it's going to have the same amount of mileage that it had when you dropped it.
Yeah, I know you like Jeeps, but I could never see you liking something like that.
My neighbor still won't talk to me. He won't even look at me when he drives past after my comment.
Yeah, I know. I remember you telling me to have one. I sent Charlie a picture of his son's car done yesterday. He wanted to know how much. I said, enjoy your vacation.
Yeah, did you see the pizzas? I think they had 1,000 pizzas on the table.
Did you see the size of his younger boy?
What, the linebacker?
I was kidding with Charlie one day. Was it public service, mailman, waterman?
Yeah.
I'll get to meet him in about 2 weeks. He's going to bring him down and make him drive his own car back. The picture of him flipping the bird?
He loves traffic no matter where he is.
You have to see my comment.
Back in the look. KB2NLA, I just put on that picture with the bird. You look relaxed.
I know, I just saw it come up. Let's put it this way, Charlie has no problem expressing his feelings.
No, but it's funny when he gains composure and he realizes, oops.
I wonder his wife was looking away in the picture.
I was outside talking with a friend of mine and my neighbor. Seen a guy coming down the road and a whole bunch of scrap metal up on top of an old Suburban. So as he's passing me, I yelled out, hey, you want some scrap metal? Guy jammed on his brakes and backed up. Helped me, went in my backyard, took a big bed frame and all kinds of extra metal, and he took the exhaust system on the side of the house, cleaned it up real nice for me. He's like, what do you want? I said, just get it out of here.
Yeah, I was saving my brake rotors and stuff here. Guy was paying me for them, a couple bucks a piece. Never came around. Found a Spanish guy trying to support his family. He scraps, delivers papers. I said, just come over and get the stuff once a week. I just give it to him. It helps him out.
Yeah, so I took a look at this guy as he's coming down the street. I'm like, here he's doing an honest thing, trying to pick up scrap metal, And he's like, hey, I've been out of work for a year and a half, and, that's good, So I told him, I said, you come around early on garbage in a few weeks, I'll have some metal chairs out for you, too. He's like, oh, okay.
Everybody could use a little hand. It's not a bad thing to do. I saw Charlie said he commented on my comment.